Thank you all for being here tonight. I want to start by personally thanking Glenn and Vanessa and Byron and Jerry for inviting me here to tell you a little bit about why we happen to be here and how I happened to start Homer's Coffee House. First, I want to tell you a bit about my background. I came from a musical family. My brothers and parents all played and sang. I got my first steel guitar when I was 8 years old. And by the way, it's called a steel guitar because it's played with a metal bar or a steel, not because of anything it happens to be made out of. Most steel guitars, in fact, are made out of wood. I played tuba in the marching band and orchestra in high school, and then I went away to college in 1966. That'll give you an idea how old I am. I'll be 65 year after next. But anyway, I got to Manhattan, and then one of the first things I did is I got a job playing bass in a blues band. And for the next 5 years, we traveled about 100,000 miles a year, playing about 150 dates a year in every kind of dive and honky-tonk and roadhouse auditorium you can imagine. One place we played, I remember they checked you for guns at the door. And if you didn't have one, they gave you one. We played several places that had chicken wire up in front of the bandstand so the band could keep playing and not get hit by beer bottles when the fights broke out. And it worked pretty good, too. By 1971, I was tired of playing for drunks, and Louise and I got married. We moved to Kansas City, and I got involved in the photography business. First, working at a camera store, and then as soon as I could, I opened a custom photo lab. And for the next 23 years, or most of the next 23 years, we were right up the street here at 7801 Floyd, Mathis Photo. We had a custom photo lab. During that time, we were successful enough that we could do a lot of traveling, go to a lot of concerts, buy a lot of records, saw all kinds of great music. Went to enough concerts that I damaged my hearing pretty good, so I'm a little bit hard of hearing. But the main thing that happened during that time was that I became a Christian. I became convinced that Jesus Christ was who he said he was, and I became a follower of Jesus. I got involved with our church. I began to grow spiritually, began to see many of our friends come to Christ as well. I got involved with Bible study groups and then started leading Bible studies. At one point, I think we had a Bible study either we were leading or involved with every night of the week. By 1995, I had become convinced that God was calling me into some type of full-time Christian ministry. So one day, one Sunday afternoon, we got together with some friends and prayed that God might send a buyer for our photo lab, for our photography business. We had a photo lab, a studio, and a frame shop. The very next morning, at about 10 o'clock, two guys walked in, guys that we'd barely met, hardly knew, came in and said that they were interested in buying our business. So we made them a deal, and on April 1st of 1996, we walked out of the business that we had founded and run for 23 years, and I joined the staff of the Christian Businessmen's Committee, CBMC, as Metro Director for Kansas City. We had one of our international leaders at the time was a man named Ted Hubbard, who was a judge from London, England, and Ted said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I sat down with Ted in Colorado Springs just a few weeks after I went on staff, and he said, want you to spend the first year doing nothing but listening to men. I want you to go take businessmen out to breakfast and lunch, have as many couples over to your house for dinner as you can, and just ask them how they're doing. Just find out about their business, about their relationships, their families. Just ask them questions to see how they're doing. Don't make any comments for at least a year. The second year, keep doing the same thing, only this time you might give a word of encouragement or some advice if they ask. The third year, keep doing that, but then you can begin to kind of get a picture and put things together in your mind of an overall what's going on with people. The fourth year, start making a plan, and then the fifth year, implement your plan. I talked to Ted several years later, and he said he gave that same advice to all kinds of people, and as far as he knew, I was the only person that actually did it. It was on December 31st of 1999, about 3.5 years into the plan, when I was having lunch with a friend, Gary Tenpenny, and Gary said, well, it's the last day of the year, but more than that, It's the last day of the decade, the last day of the century, the last day of the millennium. Tomorrow is the year 2000. What are you going to do to change the world? What are you going to do to impact the world starting in the year 2000, which is tomorrow? And I said, well, I don't know for sure, but I have a few ideas. For one thing, we need a place. I need a place where people will come to me. I want a place where people want to be. And second, it needs to involve relationships. We need to build a community around a place. We need to get people connected to one another in a meaningful way. And third, it needs to involve music. If you want to change the world, don't be the person that writes the laws. Be the person that writes the songs. So that's all I knew at that point. About 6 weeks later, my wife and I were in a coffee house. I looked around. I said, this is it. This is the missing piece of the puzzle. It's specialty coffee. We need to have a coffee house, run it like a ministry, and have live music on the weekends. So she said, let's do it. So we began to look around for a place. And during that time, I got a job as a barista at a coffee house where I could learn about coffee. I read about half a dozen books about coffee. And all the time, we were trying to figure out what a good location would be and looking around trying to find a place. It took about a year, but eventually we found this building here at 80th and Metcalf. Made a deal with the owner, John Pham, and began rehabbing the building. Our first employee was Zach Williamson, who I'd met as a barista at Toto's, where we worked there together. And together, Zach and I did a lot of the construction work. We designed the place. We determined who our suppliers would be. We wrote the menus and figured out the recipes. We hired the first staff. And eventually, we got open on September 28, 2001. And the amazing thing was the wonderful people, all the customers that came in. People came, and we began to build a community around the place. People's lives were touched. But one of the most amazing things was our staff. People all the time coming up to me and say, where'd you find these people anyway? They are so wonderful. And I said, well, God sent them to us. And they said, oh, no, really. And I said, yeah, really, really? Yeah, really. A typical example, Mike and Connie Janicek were some of our very first customers. They've been faithful customers the whole time. And Mike may have been our very first customer. I don't remember for sure. But sometimes they'd come in to bring their daughter, Christy, with them. And I thought she was about 12 or 13 years old. I really had no idea. And one day, Christy came up to the counter and she says, how old do you have to be to work here? And I said, 16. She said, okay. I said, how old are you now? And she said, 15. I said, oh, okay. A few months later, she came back and says, well, when can I start? Today's my birthday. I'm 16. And I said, well, when do you want to start? And Christy's turned out to be a great, great person. And she worked here all through high school and college up till the time she got married. In fact, one day she brought in this parrot, excuse me, that she had won at a carnival and just hung it on the wall above the counter. And I think she was just looking for a reaction from me. And I walked in. I didn't say much at first and kind of looked at it. And after a while, I said, you know, I really like the parrot. Can we keep it? And said, well, yeah, I guess so. So from then on, whenever Sky Blue would play, I'd bring the parrot up and sit on stage. Then we would go on a road trip. I'd take the parrot with us. And when I left here about 3.5 years ago, I took a parrot with us. Theresa named him Sky. So Sky is part of our Sky Blue family ever since then. Of course, we had music from the very beginning. The first band that played here was Change Agent. I saw a change agent down at the Westport Coffee House and booked them to play our opening weekend and immediately came home and redesigned the stage for a six-piece band. I'd been thinking that we'd mainly have singer-songwriters, but change agent was a six-piece group, so I had to enlarge the stage to accommodate them, and I'm glad we did because we used every bit of it. Another group that played here early on was Electric Prairie, and after they got done one night, I went up and I asked Nancy, I said, if you ever need a dobro player, let me know. And she said something to the effect of, what are you doing Tuesday? So I went out and joined them and started playing dobro with Electric Prairie. And not long after that, a couple joined Electric Prairie. The guy was this kind of the long-haired, shaggy guy that was the most amazing guitar player I ever seen. Definitely the most solid guitar player I ever played with. And considering that you can't roll a bowling ball down Metcalf without hitting a guitar player, that's saying a lot. Had this good-looking wife who could sing real well, and had the only pink Fender Precision bass I'd ever seen. So I knew right away we were going to be good friends. I don't know if the feeling was mutual or not. I think it's more of a religious experience for Bob, because often I'd see him put his hands down in his face and say, "Oh my God." And I certainly helped Theresa's prayer life, because every now and then I'd catch her looking up and say, "Oh Lord, help us." But I was getting ready to start a summer outdoor open mic jam session, which I decided to call Picking on the Patio. And I asked Bob and Theresa if they would help me with that. And they've been tremendous. As we're just wrapped up our eighth season, and certainly could not have done it without them. So I really appreciate Bob and Theresa. It was after the first season of Picking on the Patio that we decided to start a Christian blues band called Sky Blue. And this we've been together for about 7 years now. By 2008, I was beginning to realize that my call to Homer's was coming to an end, and began to look around for a way out, for an exit. And once again, God performed a miracle. This time he sent an angel in the person of Byron Whetstone. Byron, why don't you stand up and give us a wave? Byron may not look like an angel to you, but he looks like an angel to me, because Byron came in and offered to take over the leadership of Homer's and provide the financial stability and financial responsibility that we needed. And I certainly appreciate that. So I walked out of the door June 15, 2008, and got back doing photography full time, something that I felt God was calling me to do. So I really appreciate Byron, and he hired Glenn and Vanessa Winkler to be the managers, and they've done a great job. I think Byron will be up in a little bit to tell you about what's going on since then. Before I even started thinking about Coffee House, I heard this song called "Saving the World One Latte at a Time" by Steve Daniels, and I thought that's a good saying. So when we got rid of Open Homer's, I said that's what we want to do. We want to save the world one latte at a time. So we put that on our coffee cups and the back of our T-shirts. And in 2005, I decided I'd write a book about the history of Homer's up to that point. And saving the world one latte at a time seemed like a good title for the book. So I called Steve Daniels and told him that I had a coffee house, and I'd stole his saying, and was thinking about writing a book, and wondered, well, if you'd mind if we use that title. And not only that, I wanted to record the song with my band, with Sky Blue. And he was more than gracious. We made a deal, and we want to do Saving the World One Latte at a Time for you right now. Thanks.